You're not involved with anyone else. You don't get brownie points by making money fast. You get brownie points by making money, period. It's easy to make more money at the track. You just put zeros after your bet. The hard part is doing it consistently enough to show some kind of an income stream over a period of time. People like Andy Beyer are willing to lose for 11 months out of the year, 50 weeks out of the year. The end. I personally don't do that. I also don't write for the Washington Post. So I don't have a nice little income stream. Believe it or not, the follow-up is not as lucrative as you might think. So, this is what I have to do, and I need to generate an income almost every time I go to the races. I've got bills like everybody else, and they have to be paid. And amazingly enough, if you call up the phone company or the newspaper and say, listen, I had a kind of bad month at the races. Can we just forget about this bill till next month? I'm sure to hit a big one. They are not very understanding. So I have to click right along. And if you're a professional, without that nice, comfortable fallback that you have now, you're going to find that your attitude changes. The big hit may not be quite as important as the big mortgage payment. What are we going to do here? Bet 7.5% of $300 until we get to $600. We will then take a $200 profit, leaving us with $400. What do we do with these profits, by the way? Remember how it's $100 bills? Do that.
You can
pay your gas money. Again, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It just takes. When you hit the $400, you bet 10%. And you do that forever. 10% of bank, the 60-40 on the winner, forever. Now, obviously you can't do it forever, because if you're successful, that $400 will grow a bit. Mine's grown. When I say I make my living on a $200 bank, that's what I started with. It's bigger now. Really, it is. Don't worry. If you rub it, it gets bigger. It's the bankroll, it will grow for you. If you're not so very good, it'll grow slowly. If you're a wonderful handicapper or you hit a little hot streak, it'll grow fast. Again, this isn't speed. If it takes you 3 months to double your bankroll, you only double it four times a year, that's fine. There's no hurry in this. On the other hand, if you're doubling it once a week, you live in Las Vegas, you can play 25, 30 races a day, you might double it three times a week. Doesn't matter. You can set your bet size. When you reach a comfortable level of income and betting, you'll know it. You'll be there. You can figure out that kind of thing. Let's go, damn it. What have you got on here, Joe? Jesus.
Good tape.
Yeah, what is this stuff? God.
Tape is sticky.
Where was I before I was trapped? the speed of the doubling just doesn't matter. Let it just happen. Eventually, though, you will reach one of two places. One, you'll be impacting the totes to the point that you can't make these bets anymore. And at a small track like we're going to go to this afternoon, that's very possible. Or you're going to make bets that impact on your psychic health. i.e., how many of you are comfortable saying, I'll have 3,000 on this horse, 2,000 on that one. That's a very large bet. And most people are not comfortable with it. Every once in a while, I get someone in my life, I have no comfort level. I could bet anything. I'm a hard hitter, a high roller. I've got diamonds on my fingers, rings on my toes, chain around my neck, and anything goes. Here I am. Yeah? I always tell them my story about the Vikings. The Vikings were great gamblers. They more or less invented the game of craps. These little bone cubes. When a Viking went bust, he'd make one final bet. He'd bet his life on the next roll of the dice. A man would stand behind him with an axe. If he came up seven. Now, who doesn't have a comfort level? I've got an axe. You got the dice? There's always a comfort level. And if you exceed it, your handicapping goes to hell. Bob Purdy and Tom Brohammer put together a little bankroll. They started, I believe, with $1,000. And because Bob Purdy was involved, they bet a lot of it, 20%. And because Tom Brohammer was involved, they won a lot. They did, I think, what, 9, 10 in a row? They started out in a big bump.
17.
Was it something like that? It was a lot. No, it wasn't 17. They did a lot because they were going to go. They agreed they would touch no profit until they hit 20 races. And after 9 or 10, they were starting to bet a couple $1,000 a race. And they both got the trump. They both said, "Oh, this is too much." And they stopped. They couldn't complete 20 because it just got too much even for them. It was over their comfort level. Now, there's ways you can raise your comfort level, and you'll sneak up on it. If you've been betting $50 a race for a year or so, you'll find that you can bet a little more, particularly if you look down and say, well, gee, I'm awfully positive here. I look at my records. Boy, this is great. That's how you increase your comfort level. You look at it as a history of success. Now, I was going to give one last thing, and it has to do with comfort level. And it's a new wrinkle of money management that I kind of like, and it's strictly psychological. And that is, when you have a bankroll, and when you've turned professional, I would hope that most of you, when you turn professional, have a little built-in cushion. When I started with a $200 bank, I also started while fully employed. I want you to realize that. I didn't say, well, I quit my job, I have $200 in my pocket, I'm ready to go. No, friends, no, I was working full time. I was not enjoying it, but I was working every day. No, that's you don't start this kind of thing. Try to minimize the pressure on yourself. Keep your job until you turn that bankroll over 20, 30, 40 times. You know, make yourself bulletproof before you start going out there and saying, well, I have $200. I'm going to go become a professional. And while I was doing my notes here, I'm the only speaker here that actually uses notes, I came up with a really good name for this. We're going to call this the 5-in-1 bankroll plan. It just came to me. I don't know where. Hey, it works in both directions. Yeah. We can steal back, sure. The 5-in-1 bankroll plan. And basically, it's pretty simple. You're not going to worry about doubling bankroll, about your whole bankroll. You're going to look at segments. You're going to look at portions of your bankroll. And you're only going to have one portion of your bankroll in play at any given time. And basically, you're not going to worry about winning and losing races. You're going to worry about winning and losing segments. So we're going to divide our bankroll. Let's say we have a $5,000 bank. Nice, comfy little bank. $5,000. We're going to take a $1,000 bank. 1,000 of that. We're going to put $4,000 in Bank of Missouri, in a CD, in Treasury bonds, and we're going to let it sit there and earn interest for us. That's our fallback position. We hope we never have to touch it, but it's there if we need it. We're going to take only 20%, only a fifth, we're going to put it in action. We're going to take it up to the races, and we're going to devise a logical money management plan for that. And here you have a little more freedom. Devise whatever money management plan you like. I personally recommend 10%, split 60-40 on the winners. If you want to take a certain percentage of that money and bet exactas with it, that is your prerogative. Do whatever it is that you need to do. The catch is you must write it down before you start. It has to be a logical plan. It can't be, I'm going to take $1,000, go to the races, yip, yip. That doesn't work. Write it down, just say what it is. I'm going to take $600, take 10% of that, put a 60-40 on the winner. I'm going to take $400, take 5% of that, and bet it on exactas in every race, or in the races that I feel comfortable with. I'm going to take $100 and bet 15% of that into trifectas. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But you're going to split that money up. Now, you run this bank using whatever plan you've devised until, well, let's be generous, until it triples. Or until you go broke. Now, if you're a decent handicapper and you're not too bold with your bets, you'll rarely go broke. But occasionally you will. You'll lose a segment. If you go broke, you go get your second segment and you put it into action. Maybe you modify your plan a little bit. Most of the time, though, the fellow who devised this is not using the methodology and is not as good a handicapper as you are. He says he only goes broke about 20% of the time. And since he triples his bankroll the other 80% of the time, triples his segment, he does just nicely, thank you very much. So you triple your segment. You put a portion of it, or you can double it. Set a goal. I would not do more than triple, though. He puts part of it in his bank, and his new segment will be a little bigger. He puts part of it in his pocket and pays his bills with it. Then you split it. You put $1,500 in your pocket. You put $1,500 in your bank. Your new bank is now $6,500. And you take a fifth of that, whatever it may be, and that's your new segment. I'm very comfortable with this because it does allow you to bet a little more boldly. Perhaps you don't want to bet 10% to win. You might want to bet 15% to win. And every once in a while, you're going to lose a segment. But you're not facing gambler's ruin here. You're not out of it. If you lose a segment, you probably ought to cut back on your next segment. Say, well, yeah, 15% was too bold. I'll go 10%. I'll go 8%. And if you write things down, pretty soon you'll say, well, gee, this is the third segment in a row where I have tripled my money on the win end and just barely broken even on these exactas. Or you may be one of the exceptions. We have one, Michael Pozzola, who does keep records, who finds that he makes a ton more money on exactas than he does on win. He really is, many times, he says, over 100 race course, he has a higher win percentage in his exactas than he does in his win. That's Michael. Your records would tell you this. And I really like this 5-1 money management plan because, and I plan to implement it. I just heard it last week. And I'm going to, and most of it, you notice, it's just really mindset.
you're out there playing with a segment. The worst that can happen is you lose a segment. Now, obviously, if you start losing segments right and left, you have to re-examine. You have to go back to the start. Remember, all of this is predicated on the fact you are positive. You have a positive expectation. But if the races beat you down, if you hit that bad patch, be it psychological or just bad luck at the races, you lose 9 photos in a row, this concept will carry you through. Because the worst that can happen is you might lose a segment. And you can bet a little boldly. Plus, it allows those of you who want to chase at exacta to do it in a more rational structure, a more rational frame. Okay, I've used about most of my time here. Are there any questions?
Just real quick, Dick. For Dick Schmidt, the one horse is 3-2. What's the other one have to be minimum to turn?
No, I didn't say one horse 3-2.
Oh,
the two horses must be 3-2. In other words, my average mutual on return must be $6. Now, we have a Dutching program. Howard sells it for $20-$30. It's available on the PC, or it's available on these little sharps. And you just plug in the odds. This horse is 2-1, this horse is 5-1, bang, it gives you the return on investment. 72 cents. Bingo. I have used that. Huey Moll devised the 50% rule. I have found that with a 70% win percentage, you make a little profit at 70%. If you're not a 70% handicapper, that's okay. If you're, let's say you're a 60% handicapper, zip. That goes down, therefore you have to insist on maybe 60 cents. There's a fellow that I was talking to down in San Diego who said, what turned him around was insisting on even money. He insists on a dollar. In other words, he insists on an $8 average mutual instead of a $6 average mutual that I insist on. He's not as good a handicapper, and he passes a lot more races that way. Occasionally, you're going to have to make a decision here. What do you do if you have a monster horse who's 4-5 and you're sure he's going to win? If your feelings are reliable over a period of time, and you find that out by writing them down before the race and then reviewing, another record-keeping chore, then you might want to say, well, I'll bet the 4-5 plays all by himself to show, or to place. Or you may come up with some other strategy. That's personal, and you have to decide. When you have a 1-1-1-1-1 horse, he's stand out on the form, he looks great on the track, and he's 4-5. You have to make a decision. My own personal decision is I've seen those horses lose too often. Therefore, I tend to pass the race. For someone who needs a little more action, you may want to bet him in some other way. Make that decision based on rational research on your part before you go to the races. Because you will encounter those horses. You just have to make a decision. But if you make it before you go in a rational manner, write down what you do, pretty soon you'll say, well, gee, I've bet 9 of these horses and I'm barely even. What's the point? On the other hand, you may say, well, I bet 9 of these horses, I'm breaking even and I'm keeping in action. That's up to you. That's almost a mindset. Money management has 2 components. One is the actual dollars. The other is, how comfortable are you with it? If I tell you the money management scheme is, okay, friends, the first race today, we're going to bet $1,000. Most of you are absolutely blown out of the water. A few of you can handle that. On the other hand, if I stand behind you with the axe and say, bet that first race, I don't think any of you are too comfortable. So you have to make that determination. It's a very private matter. And our next speaker is going to address such things. But before we do that, are there any other questions on money management or on this plan? Sir?
When you start with the $200, if and when it dips below that, it's always 5%.
5%, yes.
Minimum, not 10%.
If you want to make it a 10% bet, that's fine. A lot of that will depend. if you're very positive on paper, let's say you show historically a 60% return on investment, well then sure, keep it at 10% because you know you're going to come back. But on the other hand, if you're just starting out, yeah, and obviously when you get down to a certain minimum, you know, they won't let you bet, oh, let me have a dollar on this horse and a dollar and 40 cents on that one. If you lose down to the point where you can't bet anymore, go back, play on paper, and then try it with another $200. That's one of the reasons I say $200. It's comfortable. You don't want money management to get in your way at the track. You want money management to be so comfortable, so easy. It's like an old shoe. You make your handicapping is a frantic mental activity. You make that choice, this one and this one, and now you're suddenly faced with this whole more other choice to make. No, that shouldn't be. When you go this one and this one, you should be, I'm so comfortable, I'm going to walk up to the window, and, excuse me, am I interrupting you here? Let's keep it down there. Yeah. This is my big finish. You walk up to the window, and you make your bet, because you know what it was. You knew what it was before you started to handicap that race. Any other questions? Sir?
Did I understand you right? When you get to the 5-1 plan and first launch that, I think you said focus on one segment at a time?
Absolutely. You're only going to put one segment, be it a fifth, a fourth, whatever. I recommend a fifth, because you can lose a fifth and still have another fifth behind you without blowing you up.
That's
one
segment, but then
one segment. In other words, you're going to go out to the track with $1,000 in your pocket. When you bet 10%, it's $100. It's not $500.
But at that point, you divide that $1,000 into segments for the different bets.
No. Okay, right. If you want to bet win only, you play with $1,000. If you want to bet some advances, you must have a separate bank. You want to bet show, you must have a separate bank. And they don't get to slop back and forth. You must set separate banks.
Well, you would divide that $1,000 then into separate banks.
Yes, into separate banks. And you only play with one segment in action at any given time.
Oh, you wouldn't play
you
win
cannot,
exactly
no,
the same
you, no, abs- oh, sure, you can do that. One segment
in action. Original $5,000.
But right, you can play with all nine banks going at once if you want to. But you only have one segment at risk. So the worst that can happen is you lose a segment. And what you want to do, instead of thinking of handicapping, I'm a 60% handicapper, I'm an 80, I'm a 20, whatever it is, I win